Grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ, our Savior, the King. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on John the Baptist and some questions related to him. And so far we've looked at the coming of the Lord, and we've established that Jesus Christ's return is soon. He's coming like lightning to be seen, thunder to be heard with the sound of a trumpet. He's coming to judge the earth with power. He's coming quickly in the twinkling of an eye. And he's coming suddenly like a thief in the night. And then two weeks ago, we talked about preparing for his coming and what God tells us to do. To repent and believe the gospel and to walk with Jesus in love. Stay awake in the faith. And last week, we talked about how to prepare for the trials and the tribulations that we need to endure before his coming. And today, though, I'd like to talk with you about this question. Does God still love us? Even with all of our faults. When we fail and stumble a little bit along the way as we follow Jesus, does he forsake us when we waver and waffle on the faith? Does he still love us in Christ even with all of our faults? What's the answer to that?
Yes.
Yes, of course. So we can just say amen. Thank you. No. We're going to talk this out a little more, because even though we know the answer to that, you know what? When we get into a really dark place in our life and under a lot of distress and duress and pain, it's very hard sometimes for us to believe, God, are you really still for me? And so let's talk about that today and start with John the Baptist, since the sermon's based on him. I want to ask you this question. What kind of a man was John the Baptist? How great of a man was he? Well, let's see what Jesus says about him. Matthew chapter 11, Jesus talks about John. Here's his report card, if you will. Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to behold? A reed shaken by wind? No, that's not why you went out. Why then did you go out? To see a man clothed in soft raiment? No, those who are clothed so are in king's houses. Why then did you go out? To see a prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he. Of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before my face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Truly, truly, I say to you, in other words, what I'm saying to you is absolute, solid truth. Among those born of women, there has risen no greater than John the Baptist. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John, and if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah, who is to come. So according to Jesus' report card of John, how great was he from A to F? He was an A plus, 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 plus. He was fantastic. The spirit of Elijah, the Holy Spirit upon him from his mother's womb, righteous and good and preaching and strong, even from his mother's womb. A burning and light, shining lamp, Jesus said. And what was John's faith in Jesus like? How confident was he when he preached? Answer, super confident. Because we read this in John chapter 1. He says, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, for he was before me. I myself didn't know him, but he who sent me to baptize said, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen, and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God. How confident does John sound to you in his faith? Super confident. Perfect declaration about Jesus Christ. And so he was confident, powerful, righteous, strong, filled with the Holy Spirit. How do you stack up against him? If you were to compare yourself to him, he gets an A+. What do you get? Who can compare with this saint, this rock, and this wall? Surely he's a man we should aspire to be like. Surely God must love him. Now, next question is, was John faultless? Was he one that couldn't be shaken? Could he ever waver and waffle in his faith? Apparently, he could, as I read the scripture. Now, let's take a look here and see what happens to him just a little while later when he's in prison. This is also Matthew 11. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is he who takes no offense at me." What happened to John's confidence? Just a short time ago, "I have seen, and I have borne witness that this is the Son of God." And only a short time later, he's sending to Jesus and saying, "Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Now, John didn't waffle or waver a lot in his faith, but a little bit. And he was sure a far cry from "this is the one" to save the world, right? So Luther took this passage to understand, to say that John never faltered in his faith, but he just sent the disciples there to help them in their faith. But I don't agree with that. Reason? It's not represented in the text that it was for the disciples. Also, who did Jesus give the answer to? He says, "Go and tell John what you see and hear." The question is from John, and the answer was for John to reassure him in his faith, because he was wavering a bit in it. He needed to be assured again. Why did the great, super John the Baptist waver? Why did he wobble? How could that possibly be? He's the man of strength, the great messenger of the Lord, the spirit of Elijah. What happened to John? Well, for one, let's understand his situation. Where did he grow up? Where did he grow up? In the wilderness. It's written, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the wilderness till the day of his manifestation in Israel." Imagine if you're a man of great gusto, and you're out in the fresh air, and you're with the wild beasts, and then you are called by the Lord, and you begin preaching with zeal and energy, and you're baptizing, and you're preaching, and you're free, and then all of a sudden, that all changes when Herod throws in your prison. And by the way, as the commentary read, it was one of the worst prisons, second only to Jerusalem in terms of the strength of the fortress, Machaerus in southern Perea near the boundary of Moab. He's in the gloom of a dungeon. He is sees nothing of sunlight. There's no fresh air. He's living with the rats. He's in great mental anguish and pain. And in addition to that, he's fulfilling what he said. John the Baptist himself said, "He, Jesus, must increase, I must now decrease." The time of his great shining, the light of Christ in preaching, is now drawing to a close. What would you feel like if that happened to you? Studies have shown that wild animals live out in the wilderness, happily, whatever. You put them in a prison, you put them in jail, in a cage, in a zoo, you give them food, you give them drink, you give them all the necessities of life, but they live half as long. Why? Because they're meant to be free. And John the Baptist was in prison. And my point here is he was human just like us. Reach out and feel your flesh just for a second. Say, John was human just like me. He was not a man of steel. He was not a log. He was not a stone. He was not from some other world. He was just like us. And even the best of us, when we're put into a dungeon in gloom, might waver a little. And he did just a little bit, not a lot, but he sent an honest and sincere call to Jesus. "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" But I'll tell you, that's a far cry from, "I have seen and I've borne witness that this is the Son of God," right? So he's wavered a bit. And also consider, John the Apostle didn't have the fullness of the understanding of the gospel that we have. For Paul says it was the gospel was a mystery, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it's now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. John preached what? "The axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." He's coming quickly, right? That's what Malachi said. "Behold, the day comes, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up." And John was looking for that day to come quickly, The day of the Lord's coming, when he will hew down the wicked and he'll exalt the humble. And here he is, having gone into his ministry for a while, and Jesus is out there and he's in prison. He's thinking, it hasn't happened yet. Why has he not swung that axe? Why are not the wicked cut down and the righteous exalted? And he didn't understand what we know, that there'd be two comings of Christ. The first one in grace to forgive our sins, the second one where he's going to cut down the wicked and exalt those of a low degree, as even Mary said. The disciples didn't get it either, did they? Even after Jesus was raised, when the days came for him to be delivered up. Oh, sorry, it says after he was raised, when they came together, they asked, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? What were they thinking? We need a fleshly, earthly king. We need an earthly kingdom. We need to kick out the Romans and establish the throne of David. They still didn't get it. And John was the same as Peter, James, and John. They didn't get the fullness of the gospel until revealed by the Spirit. And so it was very bewildering to John. Are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And so he wobbled a bit. What's God telling us in all this? He's telling us we are just like John. You are like him, and he is like you. You know, we have a tendency sometimes to think, oh, the greats. Peter, James, and John, these were men of steel. They were somehow superhuman. They were beyond us. They were beyond weakness. Is that true? John was just like us. He's just like you. A man greatly blessed, but just like us, nevertheless. James says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed, and he was able to control the weather with power for 3 years to shut it up and then to let rain come down. But he was just like us, James says. No different. Can you get that into your minds? Peter, James, and John were just humans. John the Baptist was a human. He could fail and falter when times were hard. And the Holy Spirit has not hidden from us the faults of the saints for your encouragement. Let's consider just a few of the faults of the greats in the Bible. Were they men of steel? John the Baptist questioned again whether Jesus was the Christ. Peter said, even though they all forsake you, Lord, I'll not forsake you. I'm willing to die for you. David committed adultery. Moses and Jeremiah at one point wanted to throw in the towel and quit. Solomon, for all his wisdom, followed after strange wives. Women led him astray. Simeon and Levi slew innocent men. Judah slept with his daughter-in-law dressed as a prostitute. Reuben slept with his father's concubine. Noah and Lot got drunk. Rahab was a harlot. And Thomas said, I refuse to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead unless I can place my hand in the print of his nails. What a motley crew are these great saints of the Bible. Now, don't get me wrong, they were great. They were righteous. And they were strong in faith. But they all nevertheless had faults, didn't they? And especially at times when they were sorely pressed, physically weary, tired, and overcome by the stresses of pain. Don't you feel that in yourselves? Some days you feel strong as a lion. I'm going to take on the world today for Jesus. I'm strong. And then the next day or a few hours later, something happens and you feel as timid as a little church mouse. Don't you find that? We're not always this. The Christian life is kind of like this. And hopefully we're up here, but sometimes it gets down there. I experienced that. And so did every saint, and so did John the Baptist as well. They weren't men of steel. They weren't stones and logs. They were flesh, like us. So, leads us to the next question. Does God still love us? Even when we have our faults, will he still be faithful to us? Well, let's acknowledge, first of all, that unbelief is wicked. Sin is to be reproached. And doubting is to be despised. We're not going to make light about sin or when God rebukes us. And if God were to smite us for our sins, he'd be fully righteous to do so, wouldn't he? But God gives us an example here in John the Baptist so that you might have encouragement when you face your faults. When you look at yourself and say, I am not the man, I'm not the woman I want to be. Here's the example. How did God How did Jesus treat John the Baptist and his wavering? What do we read here? The disciples came and Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense at me." That's his answer. What kind of rebuke do you see? What kind of scolding? Was God angry? Chastise him? He simply didn't rebuke him, but he pointed him again where? To the... Say it.
Word.
The word. To the scriptures, right? Because he knows John the Baptist is a faithful man. He knows the scriptures. He just needs some reassurance here. And he's saying, look at the Old Testament. You know that, John. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong. Don't be afraid. Behold, your God will come. He'll come and save you. The eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing for joy. He sent me to preach good tidings to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and opening of the prison to those who are bound. So he points John where again? When he's doubting, and when you're doubting, where does Jesus point you? Back to the word, back to the scriptures, and says, look, what you read here, I am now fulfilling. And Jesus knew that that would be enough for John to confirm and reassure him in his faith. Did God still love him? Did he forsake him? Was he ever faithful to John, even when his faith failed a little bit? He was. How about to you? Yes, he will be. There's your answer, John, right there in the scriptures. Jesus knew that that would be enough for him. Notice, this was probably the last communication he had ever had with John. You ever think about that? Never again to speak to John until in heaven. And what did Jesus do? Does he share a story about three men who went into a bar with a nice little catchphrase at the end? Like sometimes we'll do in sermons and stuff? He doesn't do that. He gives them the scriptures straight and clear. Look here, and then look at me, and know the truth. And that's what I aim to do with you as your pastor each week. Not to just give you three men went into a bar and here's the punchline, but just to give you the scriptures, because when you're going to face death, the last words you need to hear are not three men went into a bar, but you need the word. You need scriptures. It was enough for John. It's enough for us to confirm your faith that Jesus, this is the Son of God, as John the Baptist said, and you may have faith in his name, that he is the Savior. Praise be to God. So what's this tell you about God's relationship with you? Does he still love you when you fail and falter? When we sin and stumble? He could be angry with us and smite us, and justifiably so. He could crush you. He could storm against you. He could cut us off and cast us away as a righteous God. But he gives you this example in John to encourage you and to tell you this truth. For the Lord loves justice. He'll not forsake his saints. Psalm 103, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He doesn't treat us like we're men of steel, like we're some alien life force, like we're some superhuman person. He knows that we're made of dust. He knows that we're frail. And he's an encouraging God. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. For you know how much God loves you today? As high as the heavens are above the earth. That's how great he loves you. How far does he remove your sins from you? The Bible says as far as the east is from the west. That's how far he loves you. He stretched out his arms to forgive you all your sins on the cross. And as high as that vertical goes and all the way to the sky, he loves you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to forsake you. Romans 15 says he's the God of all steadfastness and encouragement. He's like a coach or a man standing on the sidelines as you run your race. Not to say, you can't make it, this hill's too big. Give up, you wretch. But there to say, you can do it. I'm with you. But I will be with you. I'll strengthen you. You'll run. You'll not faint. You'll stand. For the Lord your God sustains you. Think of how he encouraged John. Think of how he encourages you today. Think of how he encouraged his people of all time, these saints. These greats. Thomas, who doubted, Jesus said, put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand. Place it in my side. Don't be faithless, but believing. He didn't forsake him. He encouraged him. He assured his faith. Moses and Jeremiah to throw in the towel, but God says, I'll be with you. And now you shall see whether my word shall come true for you or not. To David, who sinned and committed adultery, the Lord has also put away your sin. You shall not die. Peter, who cursed God and said, I don't know the man, Jesus said, but I've prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. When you've turned again, strengthen the brethren. Rahab, who was a harlot, was blessed to be in the lineage of Christ. And Paul, who is the worst offender of all, Jesus said to him, now come, Paul, and you shall be my chief apostle to the Gentiles. And in a real moment here with you, your pastor is not perfect all the time. I'm not. I know you think that. No, just kidding. I wish I were at the top all the time. But there are days under duress and pain or when I'm especially weary, I'm down here a little bit. I might be like John or Peter or Thomas or Paul or the rest. But you know, in those times, God comes alongside to revive, to strengthen. And he points me again to the scriptures and say, look here and see. The truth of this word, which we need to celebrate this Christmas. And the angel said, don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will come to all the people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.